This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, January 24th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. The Portland Police Review Board may have the last word, after all, on Officer Wyatt. It seems that there is mounting concern that Wyatt should not be actually fired for his breaches of conduct. There's outrage around the police chief's decision. Reese may have blown it this time. And across the country and here in Cascadia, union membership is down. Productivity is up. This is not a good sign. We may be speaking today with Robert Craig in Wisconsin, a protest going on there regarding a mine that is considered being built. This, of course, will be non-union labor, of course, and it's a pet project of Governor Scott Walker's. Lloyd Blankenship at Massey Mining, also may be time for him to get lawyered up. The feds are barking at the door right now. They're getting closer and closer to Lloyd. And farther afield in Davos, Switzerland, it's like Burning Man for the power brokers. Yep, Davos, Switzerland is playing host to the one percenters today, and there is concern there. Bankers are beginning to look around and see what their greed hath wrought. First, the weather, though. Well, it's supposed to be, according to the National Weather Service, predicts drizzle, otherwise cloudy with a high around 48. For today, tonight, rain, lows around 41, and tomorrow, rain, highs near 50, and Friday night, rain likely, overcast skies, otherwise, obviously, how would there be rain, and a low around 40. The alternative forecast has this for us. A waxing gibbous flower moon in Gemini, 12 days old, coming up on a full moon. It's a good time to sow vegetables that produce internal seed-bearing fruit Out from the synodic point of view, biodynamically speaking, the moon in Gemini being an air sign, it means it's a good time for flowering plants. The moon, the sidereal forecast, moon in Gemini, barren and dry, yet good for promoting flower growth if you've got any flowers. So that's it for the conventional and the alternative weather. And once again, it is extremely important to connect to these areas of our experience. And moving straight on into news from around Cascadia, we're going to try to reach Portland CopWatch today, because we have this extraordinary scenario where Portland Police Chief Mike Reese says that he doesn't have confidence in Todd Wyatt's ability to serve as a division commander. So instead of firing the guy outright, Reese decided to demote Todd Wyatt instead. Portland Police Chief chose not to fire Wyatt. And again, this is one of those insider deals that makes Portland citizens wonder exactly what goes on in the sacred precincts of the police union. Wyatt, as many people already know, inappropriately touched female employees and escalated an off-duty road rage confrontation. He felt that Reese felt that Wyatt, though, could effectively serve as a lieutenant with close supervision. There was a letter also, which our newspaper of record had fought like a tiger to get a hold of. And again, that's what they claim. It's likely that this letter was simply being held back and prepared to be released at a time that was particularly opportune. In it, the letter warns Wyatt that any further instances of unsatisfactory performance or violation of bureau policies may result in more serious discipline. In demoting Wyatt, the chief did not follow the nearly unanimous recommendation of the Portland Police Review Board. The review board questioned Wyatt's ability to do pretty much anything. And so we are still, that is still in play. We're going to be speaking now to Robert Craig. He is with Citizen Action Wisconsin. There's a lot going on in Wisconsin. Apart, there are, the union issues. Organized labor is really in catching it right on the chin. And Wisconsin has been out front, especially the protests, people who have turned out in the streets, filled the Capitol, and demanding that their rights to organize be honored. And Scott Walker has trampled on those rights. There are protests in Wisconsin all the time. Robert Craig, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Chris. Good to be with you.
I decided I wanted to revisit to Wisconsin because it is a bellwether state. And now, as we are launched into the second term of the Obama administration, and not much was said about organized labor. Not much was said in that inaugural speech. And Scott Walker took that, I presume, to mean that that was the green light to go ahead and write in stone some of his dismantled decades of hard work on behalf of labor. There's a, I understand, a protest that's against a mining operation that's going to happen, on Saturday, I understand. Can you talk a bit about the union situation and the protests going on there right now?
Well, you're right about what's been done to unions here, and the new national numbers that are in the media today, which are in newspapers in your area, about how organized labor has declined to 1916 levels nationally. It's even worse in Wisconsin, where 48,000 fewer union members now than a year ago in Wisconsin. And so what Walker is doing is decimating the labor movement. He's also, and this is what the big protests were yesterday, the big hearing and ongoing, trying to force through a mining bill that would gut the environmental regulations that have been built up over the decades here in Wisconsin in order to allow some very short-term profits for a huge mine that would be 3 miles wide and would gut the environment. And so there was massive turnout in protest to the mining bill, but Governor Walker considered that to be the flagship issue in his alleged jobs agenda, even though we keep losing jobs and have among the worst job performances in the whole country, thanks to Governor Walker's policy.
Yeah, we've got concurrent with that, the numbers coming out of, from time to time show that worker productivity in the United States of America is up. Wages are more or less stagnating at what amounts to the same levels that we saw in the 1970s. There's something really wrong there. In Wisconsin, further actions obviously will take place. What are the plans for opposing this mine, opposing the decimation of these are structures? I don't think people realize is the history of the labor movement in this country. Lives were lost. People gave their lives. They literally, it was a war. They fought hard for the 40-hour week, for benefits, for all of these things that we take for granted now. And what Scott Walker's taken away and what people are literally giving away right now, it's going to be harder than ever to get back. What do you see in place going forward as far as reclaiming all of this?
I think there's still a very active movement, and I think people don't forget having their rights taken away. And so even though it may take years, this is not going to end. And Governor Walker faces constant pressure and rebuke. In fact, during the Martin Luther King Day ceremony that he led at the state capitol, the widow of a former civil rights leader who was speaking said that no person who had taken away people's rights to form a union should be able to identify themselves or associate with Dr. King, who died and tried to help sanitation workers in Memphis form a union. And so that was statewide news, that kind of rebuke, and that kind of thing is happening to Governor Walker all the time. People are speaking truth to power, and they'll continue to do so until their rights are restored.
Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate hearing from you. We are close, I think, in spirit. And again, as I said before, Wisconsin really is a bellwether state. People are watching. Labor is watching. And we don't like what we see, but it is inspiring to move forward and reclaim all that has been lost and stolen from the working people of this nation. Thanks again for that. Robert Craig is with Citizen Action Wisconsin. Try to put a link on the website if the website is up and running. Bear with us on that one. A little bit more on the anti-mining protest taking place in Wisconsin on Saturday. It's partially backed by Idle No More. And Idle No More is putting a call out for anarchist solidarity with the Bad River Band of Ojibwe people, other people living near Lake Superior, bad weather watershed, and resistance to mineral extraction. This protest is in response to an open pit iron mine legislation that would destroy the waters of the Pinoki Hills. That protest is taking place in Madison on Saturday. Thousands are expected to turn out for that. More on the mining front, huh? Well, looks like Don Blankenship of Massey Energy may be in for a bit of legal trouble himself. Blankenship, as we all know, is known for micromanagement. In 2010, 29 mine workers were killed in an accident deemed his company's fault. Blankenship, former Massey Energy CEO, gained notoriety at that point for his insistent, relentless drive for profits at the expense of workers. So far, he has remained untouched, unpunished. He's not paid for his crimes. But now it turns out that Blankenship may be looking at a bit of legal trouble himself. Last Thursday's conviction of a Massey executive, Gary May, who agreed to cooperate with authorities in exchange for his relatively light sentence, may cause Blankenship to become more concerned. The conviction could be the first step on a trail that leads directly to Don Blankenship. And the results of the Israeli election, of course, are still reverberating. And in Davos, leading economic powerhouse lords and ladies of the world are gathering, and there are looks of concern. Not much as yet in the way of protest, and we'll have more on Davos later. This has been Akaskadia for Thursday, January 24th. Roch Bergeron engineered the show today. Welcome, Roch. We're so glad to have you on board. Engineers are indeed the shaman of the station. They make it all happen. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stab. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, a report on the 4.3 million Palestinians prevented from voting in recent Israeli apartheid elections. Also a report from the Center for Critical Environmental and Global Literacy on their recent mission to train teachers in El Salvador, and a commentary from Miguel Gavila Molina on one more homeless man left to die on the frozen streets of North America. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We now turn our attention to the recent Israeli apartheid elections. The U.S. press was all over the recent elections. Who were the winners and who were the losers? Surprise, surprise, the right one, but just by a hair. But who were the real losers in the apartheid state? Of course, the Palestinians. Consider that at least one out of every four Palestinians under Israeli apartheid rule did not have the right to vote. And not a peep, let me repeat, not a peep out of the U.S. press from right to left, not a questioning word out of MSNBC liberals, Rachel Maddow, Big Ed, Chris Matthews, and the rest of them, again silent about Israeli